Welcome to the Domain Name Wire podcast, where we talk about the business of domain names. I'm your host, Andrew Alleman. My guest on today's program is Chad Folkening. Chad has been investing in domain names for 20 years now, and he also co-founded Domain Holdings. Chad talks about what he's seeing in the market, how he thinks we can get liquidity for domain names, and how his network is building out content on domains. It's an interesting show. You'll definitely want to listen. Before we chat with Chad, wanted to let you know that we are looking for a sponsor for this podcast. If you're interested in reaching our audience of over 5,000 downloads a month, shoot an email to me at andrew@domainnamewire.com. I also have opportunities on the Domain Name Wire site as well. Let's run through some news in the domain name business from the past week before we go into our guest conversation. It was actually a very interesting week for domain names. The biggest news perhaps was, or the most exciting, was that Spanish police raided the offices of Fundacio.cat. That's the registry that runs the .cat domain name for the people of Catalonia and people that speak Catalan. Now, Spanish authorities had asked the registry to take down some domain names being used to promote an independence referendum that is to take place in October. But the group CTO was also arrested, and it looks like he might have perhaps had a greater role in the referendum than just being the CTO or technical person here of the .cat top-level domain name. So it's not entirely clear what role that played in the raid. Either way, pretty fascinating to see pictures of police raiding a domain name registry. Now, keep in mind that because of the distributed nature of domain name registries and the fact that this group, this registry, doesn't handle the technical side, it actually outsources that, the .cat domain name should continue to operate as they always have. Of course, if a domain is deleted or the name server is changed at the registry level, that could change that. All right, next month here, October, is I would call it the SSLD day. This is when people using the Google Chrome browser will get an error or basically an alert message if they're filling out a form and the site does not have an SSL certificate. So let's say you're on a WordPress blog and you're filling out a comment and the person doesn't have an SSL certificate on the site, there will be a warning that shows up in the browser bar that says not secure. So any site with a contact form also falls into this bucket. And this could be an issue for some domain name landing page companies that have contact forms on their pages to submit offers. This doesn't apply to a parked page that has a banner that you click and then go to a secure site to fill out a contact form. But if the contact form is directly on that parked page, the domain name it is hosted on needs to have an SSL or this warning will be displayed. You can get free SSL certificates at letsencrypt.org. Over at NameJet, the company is testing out lower starting prices on direct transfer domains. These are domains that registrar partners offer up through the platform when they're going through the expiry process. And instead of going through the full deletion, they directly transfer it to the buyer. Now, starting with Tucows, which owns half of NameJet, some upcoming domains will have a $39 starting price rather than $69. Now, the goal behind lowering this price would be to boost the sell-through rates and perhaps attract attention to domains that wouldn't be backordered at $69. If a domain goes through the system and doesn't get backordered, that's revenue loss. The company gets nothing for it. Now, for comparison purposes, GoDaddy starts its bidding on this type of domain name at $12, but you do have to pay the domain renewal fee as well, so it's about a $20 starting price at GoDaddy. Now, here's an interesting story with a warning behind it. Domain investor Mike Mann sold the domain name WashingtonJournal.com to someone for $75,000 earlier this year, and that person just lost a UDRP brought by C-SPAN, you know, the group that does that riveting coverage of the U.S. House and Senate. But there are a couple interesting things here. Obviously, $75,000 domain name lost in the UDRP is a big deal, but also the buyer of the domain never changed Whois record out of Mike Mann's name. So originally, the UDRP was filed against Mike Mann, and the arbitration group refused to remove his name from the complaint as well. So even though it wasn't his fault that this domain got hit with the UDRP, his name is attached to it. And some more police criminal news. In addition to .cat, there was an Arizona man who was sentenced to 4 years probation in order to pay $9,000 in restitution for essentially hijacking his former employer's domain name. He renewed the company's domain name account at GoDaddy in 2011, and he still had the credentials. The company then in 2015 asked him for the credentials because it wanted to update the contact details in the account. At first, he lied and said he didn't have them. Then he turned off access to the domain. Then he demanded $10,000 from the company for the return of the domain. When the company declined, he forwarded it to a porn site for a couple of days. Now, keep in mind, this was a criminal case, so it's nice to see authorities pursue this matter. And finally, if you want a good laugh and are an Amazon Prime member, check out the season finale of the second season of the show Catastrophe. There's some great domain name humor in the first minutes of the show, but I'll warn you, it's not safe for work. All right, now let's chat with Chad Folkeny. My guest today is domain name investor Chad Folkening. Chad, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
So, Chad, you've been in the domain name investing world for a long time. How and when did you get started in domains?
How and when? When was 1996. How was I was involved in real estate before that in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was paying about $6,000 a month rent on a commercial property. And I said, there's got to be a better real estate play than this. And then I had an existing company called Student Services that did a lot of real estate development services. And so I started looking into the internet and I realized, like, how do you buy this URL location? I hired somebody to pretty much hack a contract for that Student Services. And then that just evolved into typing into a browser, getting no input to saying, okay, well, let's buy one. And then that's when we learned about network solutions. And back then, they were about $100. Mm-hmm. That was 1996. And then I've been doing it full-time in 1996.
You've been a domain investor full-time since 1996?
Yep. And looking back 21 years, you know, time flies.
Yeah.
And you know, and for me, too, it's just, I really think, you know, what inning we're in, right? We're in the second inning. We're in the third inning. We're in the ninth inning. You know, who knows what inning we're in, but to still have a passion for it 21 years later, that's what I'm pretty proud of, is that I got into something that I loved and still love. That's not easy to find and do when you're on your career path.
Yeah. And over that time, too, you also co-founded or founded Domain Holdings as well, a domain brokerage. Is that right?
Yeah, that was, man, I think that's going on 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I built a product called Rapid Domain Builder. Mm-hmm. And that was really we really wanted to turn our URLs, our assets into more utility. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have it more utility than just a domain name. And so when I actually don't like the term domain name anyways anymore, I like the word, you know, the URL, because that's the technical terminology. When you use the word domain, it boxes it into a category that doesn't really exploit its full potential. And so we really wanted to create a utility out of these assets. And so that's what evolved. And then we started talking to some other local people here, and that's what eventually formed Domain Holdings Group, which married the John Ferber's SEO company, custom development company, with our platform technology. And then we started a broker's division once we formed that new company.
That company has been sold, right? You're no longer involved with it now?
We sold the broker's division to Flippa 99 Designs.
Okay.
I think about 2.5 years ago. And then we kept the advertising technology side, which is now BidSelect.
Okay, got it. So now through your company, which is, I believe, E-Corp, right?
I work for E-Corp, correct.
Okay. So how many domain names do you currently own?
We manage a portfolio of about 22,000 domains.
Okay. And what kind of categories and such are these across?
We looked at this, we analyzed it. Right now, 16 core categories.
Okay.
From politics to, you know, applet software to, you know, some religion to business, finance, style, fashion. So we really like 26 categories, but really say 16 is our core focus.
Mm-hmm. And why did you pick these 16 as your core focus?
Well, I'm a vertical buyer, so I like to buy into the verticals. And then so once you find a niche keyword, you buy across the industries. And so one example is chain names, for example, right? So we didn't predict blockchain necessarily, but we knew P2P technology was going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And the concept around that. So we acquired a lot of our chain names 15 years ago, sometimes even longer than that. So when we buy into that vertical, we're buying into the chain concept, but then we're buying across all verticals.
And by verticals, you mean it could be technology, it could be sports, it could be finance, and then combined with chain, the word chain.
Right, like drug chain, realty chain, health chain, stuff like that. And that way we can replicate what we're building in one vertical and then replicate it across the other ones using a different URL, but the same infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your best domain names?
Again, they're not mine. I manage them for the company I work with. You know, staffing.com, streaming.com, applications.com, mergers.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the one words, but what we start seeing a lot is even though they're good brands and they're good assets, they're hard to build on because they're so generic to where sometimes it's easier to carve a small niche out with a two word and then own that singular word. That's the big enchilada. Because, again, you're boxing yourself in with a really good generic word. And that's sometimes harder to penetrate a marketplace.
Interesting.
With that one premium. So with mergers.com, you know, we helped the company build that out. And the person running that was feeling a lot of frustration because they didn't know if they were a competitor or friend or foe. And so when you go in with something like that, some people either embrace you as a friend or they can look at you as a foe. To where if you're coming out something different, then they don't really look at you as a weapon or an ally. So for us, we actually do a lot of development on our secondary domain names versus our primary premiums.
Okay. So a lot has been happening over the past 21 years in the domain name business. What kind of trends are you seeing recently?
You know, the trends, I think, well, individually domains, I think we've been through the loop a couple of times of what's the relevancy of a URL? You know, when the new TLDs are out, hey, the supply-demand curve, it's going to hurt the values because there's going to be more supply. I think we've already kind of weathered that storm of supply-demand curve for dot-coms are still there. They're growing up, not down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think now with the technology shifts, what we like to say is, or relate this more to cryptocurrency or to blockchain technology, is if you want to play those markets, you play the utility of the technology that's unlocking the value out of. And so you being in Texas, right, oil state, there could be oil, but the oil is way, way down in there, miles down. We can't get to it. So we know it has value, but we know it's we just can't extract it until you have fracking, right? And then fracking comes along and, oh, we can get to that now. Now your land is worth a lot more money. Same thing with domains is there's new technologies that are coming out that are extracting the value of domains, URLs, like fracking to oil. And so, and that's called blockchain cryptocurrency. And so for us, we're starting to see a trend back towards domains as a utility value that can extract more value using more new technologies. So we're starting to see that pendulum shift back into the utility of a URL. And then now people are going to be more selective, but I think that's where the quality over quantity is starting to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a good position, and you have a good asset, then like anything else, you have to communicate that value to the buyer. So the trends are, you know, global marketplace, URLs have a global market demand. China came in, you know, what we saw in the trends was 20%, then 30%, then 40%, then 50% of the market. Now that's starting to play now. You're starting to see India and a couple other countries starting to pick up that pace as well. And then, you know, some of these new TLDs are starting to find a niche because they're like .io, .ai. And these companies are building it, their companies differently. But I'm always a believer of the Walmart shopper. And if you're going to reach any kind of consumer, just go in and go do it right and go own the entire vertical, .com, .net, .org, .io, whatever you can get. Because in a sense, if you're paying your executive, I use this terminology a lot. What are you paying your top executive? And if you're not willing to pay for that URL, what you pay your top executive, and that's only a one-time payment, then we probably should be talking to somebody else. And so a lot of times you're still educating the end user buyer, the buyer, the utility value of what they're buying. Because across your emails, your branding, your SEO, your marketing, all bases is on what your distribution channel on your URL is. And so if you're willing to pay your executive $125,000 a year, but you're not willing to buy what your business is built on top of, we need to help educate you why. We're starting to see that trend is they're willing to pay more, but they need to be educated why. And then the other ones know right away they want it. They're just trying to negotiate down. So for the trends wise, I think we're starting to see a cooling off on the international markets. I think we're starting to see an industry getting a little bit more mature and the acquisitions being taken out, meaning the big guys are going to get bigger. They're going to start taking out the middle market, lower people. We're already starting to see happen, right? And so then we're going to start seeing hopefully some new players coming in and looking at the domain channel completely different than the way we look at it. It may be looking as an information play or, you know, a security play. What we're starting to see a lot in the crypto space is if you're going to hack somebody, you hack them through their URL. You don't hack into their database, you hack into their traffic. And so we've seen a pivot into in that space to say, no, you have to make sure you lock up your www.domain, your .code names, because if somebody else buys that traffic, they can steal your traffic and you can't do anything about it. And so yeah. We're starting to see that the importance of your URL branding in the crypto space more than ever. And people are starting to wrap up around their strategies.
Let's talk about, there are a couple things you said there. So first of all, you mentioned some country code domains that have kind of taken off .ai and .io. And you said that in the same breath of new top level domains. Has your company purchased new top level domains?
We have a couple. I often talk when I consult to a lot of people, I'm actually doing it for myself, not for them. Mm-hmm. When I start seeing my same pattern being discussed, like you only need one. And so, you know, don't go and try and do a spray and pray, but go and build one that you want or you have and go really build value and then go buy around that. And so we're trying to buy a couple of .ios now because we know that even though we're going to go to market with a .com, we know that in that technical space, .io can ring a bell to some people. But again, we also have a floor price. So we're not going to go pay an astronomical amount of money for it, but it would be a nice to have. Mm-hmm. So for us, we want to do it more for protection than anything else. And in the marketplace, we do have a trademark and we can win it that way. I've given away domain names because they approached us the right way mm-hmm. to where I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars defending names because they approached us the wrong way. So for us, we want to go in. Yeah, if we're going to be putting a lot of time and money into a brand, we want to own all the channels, our current and our future development. But for us, we also identify people that way too. And so we found a couple of partners that own the same domain name in a different extension that we got a good price. Now we have a partner in play. So for us, you know, we look at it as, why did you pick this asset name and what are your intentions? And let's start a dialogue and then we'll see where that dialogue goes. Because again, a lot of the times, yeah, we want to acquire, but a lot of times that's a new partner or referral or distribution channel that we like to establish that way as well. Not just the acquisition of property or URL, but commonality of terminology.
Now, you mentioned blockchain and cryptocurrencies helping to harvest the value of domain names. What do you mean?
Well, the beauty of it is there's some people that look for comps or what do you want to call them? What other systems have gone to market that we can learn from? Okay. And so with the scalability of crypto and digital currency and these other things is it's hard to go to market with what else has done this before. Half the market, I would say, says that, well, the DNS industry has done it. It's technically distributed. It's been able to scale 330 million domains, and it's technically distributed. And so some people are using the metaphor of the URL structure as a crypto play, as an example. But what we're saying is, again, it's a technology that's able to unlock the value, and it's a digital currency, right? It's digital. It's a digital asset. A domain is a digital asset.
Okay.
And so we're just saying, well, if we can marry digital real estate with digital currency, those already align better because they're digital from the beginning, not trying to start something that's like a physical property that's trying to evolve into a whatever. They're both digital from the beginning. So there's underlying technologies in blockchain that will unlock value in URLs. It's happening. We're seeing it. We're involved with it. We're testing it. And we're only in inning one. So that's why we are doubling down in URLs, not going the other way. And so you mentioned some trends. We're starting to see people getting out of the industry completely. I'm saying, I'm done. I want to move on to a different industry. And then we have other people say, well, we're going to double down in it. And so we're a believer in doubling down in it, but doing it in a more methodical strategy.
So a more methodical strategy, what does that mean?
Less is more and do the ones that you're right. Because time, look, 21 years flies by. And so, you know, to spray and pray and do thousands of domains or whatever, that's technically not feasible unless you incorporate new business models or business platforms. But getting one that you like or love and you want to spend your time on, that brings you not only material value, but education value and other values. So we're acquiring more methodically on the ones we know we want, not the ones we like to have. Sort of where before we're like, that's a nice name, that will go up in value, let's buy it. Now we're like, we like that one, let's get it. We know what we want to do with it. We know what we have plans to do with it.
Okay.
And when. So definitely more streamlined and more filtered acquisition approach.
So let's talk about Contrib. What is Contrib?
I'd say it's more of a business model, you know, because the Contrib terminology is, what can you offer into this asset that adds value and can be measured? So a quote I've been using, which as far as I know, I said it first. I don't know if anybody else has said it, but anything that has value that can be measured will be a currency. So Contrib as a model is to say, I have this asset. What can you contribute?
URL.
What can you contribute that can add value that I can measure? Because after paying freelancers and contractors and employees, you know, I think I read a study like there's only like 3 hours a day you get productivity from an employee, true value. And so we're saying, well, we don't care if it takes you 10 minutes, 10 seconds, 10 hours, or 100 hours. We want to compensate you for the value that you're contributing into the asset and then measuring it. And so for Contrib, it's more of a business model than anything else. Again, going back into history of domains, right, is you had to educate people. What is a domain? And then more people learn about it. And then we're still in an education phase, ironically. So with us, we're really in the education phases. What do you mean I could own 10% of coffeesurvey.com? I'm just a barista at Starbucks, but I can add value to a coffee survey because I'm a barista at Starbucks. I have a blog I can write towards. So we're really trying to disrupt value distribution and value creation. And then we connect that in around a URL. That's the central point of where that value is being measured, contributed towards, distributed with.
So at a high level, the idea here is you have a domain name, someone contributes something to it, whether it's video, writing, something like that, and then they get rewarded through either ownership of that domain, or how do they get compensated?
Two ways. The answer is yes, they can contribute a domain. That's one contribution we measure.
Oh, okay.
So when we look at Contrib, it's not just, we like to start with, we're domain focused, we're domain centric. Our technology and our application is built around domains. That's number one. But you can contribute a domain. We put a theoretical value on that. And then somebody else can contribute a video or distribution or content around that asset. And so you can get compensated either through fiat and or stakeholdership. And that leads us into where, why we are going into more crypto is we're in a global economy. And I can't issue you value when you create value if you're in Istanbul and you're a 16-year-old. I can send you $1 million in cryptocurrency, but I can't give you 5% of coffee survey because I'm a US-based company. And if I issue that and you're a terrorist, then the entire network goes down. But I can wire you $1 million tomorrow. And so we're trying to get in front of the curve to say, well, if you create value, we want to distribute this value, but we want to be fully transparent of who, how, and how everything is valued and what it's pegged towards. And so we want to give you the opportunity to take it out in fiat, but also take it out in stakeholdership, because we think the input of your value should be rewarded towards that input. So I can go hire a freelancer and they don't have the clicks to create value for coffee survey as long as we're getting paid. But if they know they're getting paid half of it in fiat, half of it in stakeholdership, we think that value that they're going to put towards it is going to be a little bit better than if they weren't a stakeholder in the asset.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we're trying to unlock that value, but we're trying to do it on a global basis.
Now, help me understand too. I was looking at your site and you guys are doing an initial coin offering or an ICO associated with Contrib, right?
Correct.
So how is that going to work?
Well, we're doing a dual currency. What I mean by a dual currency is Contrib is the network, meaning our CTP token is when you own a token, you're going to own the entire asset network, meaning staffing.com, streaming.com. You're getting the entire network asset pool, where eShares is the stakeholdership management application protocol that manages the individual assets inside the network, meaning every URL or every entity will have its own asset value that will be managed by eShares. And so let's say you want to bring an asset in to the Contrib system, the Contrib network. You bring it in, you can convert it to your CTB tokens, and that means you're going to get asset network value in the network. And so the number one thing that I've seen in portfolios, not only the portfolio we manage for a couple of companies, but other portfolios, is nobody's getting synergy value with their portfolios. Even in parking, right? You don't know that if you landed on coffeesurvey.com, that this person owns coffees.com or whatever else. And so there's very few synergy and network effects happening inside individual portfolios, let alone co-op portfolios. And so what we're trying to do is to say, well, we're going to share our network. It's called Contrib with everybody that comes into the network. But then we're going to be able to bring the individual ownership or value and manage that through the eShares protocol.
Okay, so I'm a little bit confused there. So if I contribute a domain name, I then own tokens, if you will, that represent a small portion of all the domain names in the system?
Yeah, so let's say you say I have a URL called austintech.com. It's worth $10,000. You want to bring that into the Contrib network. It fits our parameters. We say, yes, Andrew, we would like to buy 30% of that stakeholdership for $3,000 valuation. And whatever the value of the CTB token is, we will issue those CTB tokens at that valuation. And now Austin Tech owns $3,000 of CTB tokens that it can now sell out that's liquid into the marketplace.
Okay.
And so now Contrib is owning 30% of Austin Tech.
Okay.
And so one way to create liquidity is not necessarily just buy and sell, but to shard it, we call it sharding, is to cut it up, sell parts of it, and then get those out to people that can add value back into the asset and measure it. And then that's how you increase the value of the asset.
And that's where the Contrib network of people that come in and provide content and such come into play.
Yep. And so, and that's the network effects to say it's a three-step process: idea, action, execution. We start with the idea. That's the URL. And then we focus on those assets that start have a little bit of action. And so if Austin Tech started picking up because it started getting momentum or whatever it is, we want to start focusing on the execution value. And so our theory is this. We think we have a system and a network in place that can take a $1,000 asset, make it into a $10,000 entity with wrapping with the tool sets, and then making that to a $100,000 company pretty quickly. And so now we're not selling it as a URL. We're selling it as a business entity that has future potential value to make earnings. And we think we can do that tens of thousands of times.
And at that point, let's say I sold you 30% of the domain in return for tokens, and then we turn around or you turn around and are able to sell it for $100,000, then I, as the domain owner, am getting $70,000 from that?
Yeah. It's consensus is really important.
Yeah.
Because I used to own digitalcurrency.com in 1999.
Wow.
I sold it in 2012 because Imani kept pushing me to put it in auction. The company we consult for still owns the .net. So we've been following this market for a long time, especially Ethereum. We've been following it. Consensus is really important. And that's the whole thing with smart contracts is 51% of the votes and whatever the decision is, that's code is law. That's it. And it's done. So what we like to say with a domain owner is, it's okay to be centralized, but if you really want to get the network effects, have it in your smart contract to be a decentralized asset. Meaning you might want to control 70%, that's fine, but if you really want to get the network involved, give away 60, 70% of it.
Oh, to the contributors.
Yes.
Okay.
Let the marketplace, you know, earn their value into the asset, but then also let them make the decisions. So for us, we want to say, hey, we're okay with, we don't want to own 100% of our assets. We'd much rather own 19.9% of an entity that's growing and running and adding value, and we're hands off of it. And so for us, we're a centralized network with a decentralized organizational structure and code base. So if that person in Austin adds you that value, give them the opportunity to continue running with it and give them controlling ownership stake. Because look, there's a lot of time the lease option structure works really well. We have probably 10 names that our client currently has on a lease option. Those are good models. We like those a lot. But if that person doesn't have controlling stakeholdership, they're not going to really put their heart and soul into owning it or building it out without knowing that they can eventually take it over and run it without somebody else controlling it. So we like to look for those assets and those people that really, again, understand the distributed value of ownership. They can see where that model really works. But what's also different in our play than all the other crypto plays is in our cap table, eShares cap table, is we say you need to put 2% of your stakeholdership away to charitable programs. Not necessarily 501c3, but the programs that are really adding value that either to you or to your alignment or to something else. If that's autism, if that's Feed the Hunger, whatever it is, we're really putting people to say put a little bit away to an organization that you like or trust that's doing good. And so most of these other people doing these crypto ICOs don't care about backfilling their community. But that's, we have good case studies with internet.org, code.org. These other companies got so big, they ripped and stripped their infrastructure that they had to go start seeding it out later, that it's going to take them 10, 15 years to get that infrastructure going again. And so we're saying do that now, and the ROI in 5 years will only benefit you and your entity by putting the 2% away now. So that's an important factor. We like other assets that are coming to us that want to join our network to say, this is an important model we want to stay true to, is the 2% away to charity.
Interesting. So Chad, this all sounds really interesting, but I know a lot of people probably have a ton of questions. So what's the best way, what's the best place for them to go to find out more? And if they still have questions, to contact you as well.
We're going to start publishing more on Twitter. That's one thing. We're already going to also put Telegram channel. We already have it.
What is your Twitter handle?
It's twitter.com/contrib.
Contrib. And the website is contrib, contrib.com.
Yes. And then contripto.contrib is the token offering. And we're going to get better. You know, this is our version one, and we're learning a lot too. And so I encourage people to look at our advisory team too as well, because I think what we're trying to do too is the rising tides rides all boats, or raises all boats, right? And so the team that we've been trying to form, the reason why we have Luke Lazan and Monty and a couple other people on there, is we went really technical because we think we're trying to build a technical solution for all domains. But for us and our acquisition strategy is really, we don't fit everybody's brand or everybody's flavor, but we think we can push the value for all domains to go up in value once they see the utility value and the weapon value. I think our biggest one that I get frustrated with is the people trying to buy the assets don't feel them as a threat. And if you have the ability to reposition your asset to be more as a threat, then your value of your asset will go up in value as well. So for us, I don't think you, the mention is how we sell domains now is we're on the exchanges. We have some brokers we work with that understand our process and our positioning and our valuations. But for us, time and time again, I keep getting those calls to say, well, these guys are so too busy doing other things, they will never ever focus on what we're working on. And so we don't deem them as a threat. And then you start trickling them a little bit more information on what you're doing or how you're doing it. And they start seeing like, oh, this company actually can be a competitor. That starts changing the dynamics of our negotiations.
Got it.
And so for us, again, we're trying to build a network and a technology that raises the bar for all domains.
Awesome. Well, that sounds good. We're out of time, but again, so it sounds like the best place to get more information is to go to contrib.com or twitter.com. The handle is contrib, and people can reach out to you directly or someone on your staff through those sites.
Yeah, china.contrib.com.
Okay.
Just a heads up, we are a holacracy-based structure.
Okay.
Meaning we're a flat structure, meaning there's we don't have any founders, presidents, CEOs.
Okay.
We have many people contributing their core expertise into the system. And so we do, you know, we like to open it up to anybody and everybody that can add value. So you can earn your way into the currency as well. So yeah, chat@contrib.com. And then we're going to start slowly adding in these communication channels once we have more capacity.
Awesome. Well, Chad, thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Hey, thanks, Alan, and keep up the good work on your blog.
So my guest today has been domain name investor Chad Folkening. You can find out more about Contrib and what they are doing there at contrib.com. That's contrib.com. That's a wrap on this week's Domain Name Wire podcast. You can listen to all previous episodes at dnw.com/podcast or on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Music Store, or wherever you download podcasts. Thanks for listening.